Last Sunday, we talked about why, you know, which was sort of heavy theological, but this the first few weeks of the new year, I am going to deal with some things that are, I think, very important, but tend to be a little more foundational to help us, you know, get the foundation before we start building superstructures. If you were here for adult Bible study, one of the first questions, which whoever asks it, you don't have to fess up, or if you do, I'm going to praise you to the rooftop. But the first question I got, which, by the way, cards in the back, any questions you want to answer. But the first question was good because it grounds where we should be looking for the ultimate answer, which is God's Word. So the question was on, you know, tips, tricks, techniques for studying God's Word so we are not prone to error. That's a huge problem in the church. We pastors are very guilty of it, you know, not having the foundation before preaching God's Word. So we're going to talk about a lot of sort of foundational stuff, and you'll see how some of these topics tie into that. So thank you for your patience ahead of time. So how many of you have heard of the term the human predicament? Okay, that's sometimes thrown around. And that ultimately comes from, it's symptomatic, comes from an evolutionary thinking, where it ultimately comes from, which includes a philosophical, you know, worldview, a pessimism. Life has no ultimate meaning. The human predicament, we're just a little speck in the midst of this galaxy, and what determines our fate? Well, people along those lines definitely dismiss Christianity. That type of worldview does not like a solidly biblical worldview with, you know, ignorance. For one thing, you know, the excuses, ignorance. Oh, yeah, well, what about you Christians? What about those people in deepest, darkest Africa? It's not fair that just because they haven't heard of Jesus, they should go to this mythical place you guys call hell. You know, and John and Peg, with all their years and decades of ministry, in fact, did you know that John and Peg rode the first steam train into Mongolia? But they've seen many cultures. And, you know, what about those people that have never heard? How many of you, you know, that's often an excuse? Usually, you know, they don't want to deal with your question. They want to, oh, yeah, well, what about? Or sociology. Tell me if you've heard this term. We are victims of social, environmental, hereditary circumstances. It's just fate. And usually then nowadays with the critical race theory, you know, there are the oppressors and the oppressed. And it's just not, you know, that's the way God made me. We hear that a lot with some of these perverse lifestyles. Well, that's the way God made me. So sort of then the underlying dilemma is with God and Christian now with God is we can't fully understand, but can we know something? How can we know God? How can we know God? Not only us, but the world. So that deepest, darkest African, how can we say he knows God? So first of all, there are two ideas, or two major ideas that, first of all, there's revelation. This is what God does. It starts with God. So what is God doing? Well, we touched on this a little last week, but there's what's called general or universal revelation. It's available to all persons of all times and all places. So this is every person who has ever lived. So that includes those deepest, darkest Africans. And Kelvin, yes, that even includes professors in Berkeley. Okay? And so, now I'm going to break this down. There's not going to be a test. Don't worry. But general revelation to everybody, there's what's called mediate, which is external. So a mediator. So God does something external that everybody can see. So one thing is nature. Last week we looked at Psalm 19:1. The heavens declare the glory of God, and the firmament shows his handiwork. That's general revelation. When we look at the stars, where did they come from? Then other verses that are a little more specific. This is from Paul's, he was in Athens on Mars Hill dealing with a bunch of Berkeley professors, the philosophers, and so we had to meet them where they were. You know, sometimes we Christians are, good at going up to unbelievers and say, you have to repent and believe in Jesus. And they're looking at you like, what does that even mean? Well, so Paul knew how to make contact with all those, to the unknown God of all those Greek and Roman gods. And he said, and saying, men, Paul says this, men, why are you doing these things? We also are men with the same nature as you, and preach to you that you should turn from these useless things to the living God who made the heaven, the earth, the sea, and all things that are in them, who in bygone eras allowed all nations to walk in their own ways. Nevertheless, he did not leave himself without witness, in that he did good, gave us rain from heaven and fruitful seasons, filling our hearts with good food and gladness. So anybody can see, why do we get rain? Where did the sun come from? God has not left himself without witness. That's part of general or universal revelation. And then another branch of that would be history. So nature and history, I won't get into that a whole lot, but Israel. Why is there an Israel today? We've talked about anti-Semitism, but just the fact that Israel still exists is no other explanation but God. For the Lord has chosen Jacob for himself, Israel for his special treasure. That's Psalm 135:4. So mediate revelation, or general revelation, mediate, external, is nature out there, and then even history that we can look back on, hopefully properly, right, Kelvin, that not rewriting history. But then there is also immediate, so internal. We don't have a mediator, we have an internal. So, and we call that our conscience or our inner being. Paul in John 1 talks about that was the true light, talking about Christ, the Word of God, the Logos, divine Logos. That was the true light which gives light to every man. So we all, because we're created, I know some of us maybe look like we evolved, but we were created, gives light to every man. The divine Logos, God, the Son, and God, the Holy Spirit, illumines mankind. No matter, even Adolf Hitler had what Calvin would call a sense of divinity. Even Hitler knew not to kick his dog. So, there was, why do we think some things are okay and some things not? Have any of you read the book Eternity in Their Hearts? Yeah, so that's what that sort of deals, where even when you're riding the steam train to Mongolia, those people were sometimes very receptive because they didn't know who to call him, but they were looking for Jesus. So that's the way God made us, our we'll just say our conscience. And here's a little longer passage, you know, good old Paul in Romans 1 is a little more explicit. For the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who suppress the truth in unrighteousness, because what may be known of God is manifest in them. Think of that. For God has shown it to them. Unbelievers has shown it to them. For since the creation of the world, his invisible attributes are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made. Anybody in here not made by God? Ultimately, you know, so all of creation made by God, clearly seen, the Creator. Even his eternal power and Godhead. So that, sounds like a good title for a sermon, they are without excuse. Because although they knew God, they did not glorify him as God, nor were thankful, but became futile in their thoughts. And their foolish hearts were darkened. Professing to be wise, they became fools and changed the glory of the incorruptible God into an image made like corruptible man. Real God? Idolatry we make. We like to make our, and the world likes to make their own gods. Of man and birds and four-footed animals and creeping things. That's Romans 1, 18 to 23. And then later in Romans 2, so for when the Gentiles, you know, not the Jewish people, but those even deepest, darkest Africans, other than Jews, who do not have the law, by nature do the things in the law, these, although not having the law, are a law unto themselves. So we come up with our own laws, who show the work of the law written in their hearts. We naturally know something, you know, why we prefer some things, you know, why some things are good. Maybe not necessarily, but we, you know, today I guarantee you, Berkeley professors think some things are, you know, they're good as they define good. And so then the other, you narrow-minded Christians are pretty evil. You know, you're the real enemy, you know that. I've always known that. The law written in their hearts, their conscience also bearing witness, and between themselves, their thoughts accusing or else excusing. So, this silly illustration. Even the headhunters of Borneo. Did you ever go to Borneo? You can ride the steam train there. But, you know, the headhunters, the cannibals, even they knew you don't eat your relatives. You only eat your enemies. So they had a law. Where did that come from? How did they know? Why did they have this concept of good versus evil? Oh, yeah. And so their conscience also bearing witness, and between themselves their thoughts accusing or else excusing them in the day when God will judge the secrets of men by Jesus Christ according to my gospel. So, you know, even unbelievers today, you know, they have some degree of guilt, some degree of thoughts. You know, how many times have you heard the phrase, you're going to be on the wrong side of history? Well, that's their definition of what the wrong side of history is, and they're adamant about that. So what's wrong with that? That's for everybody. Well, but, as theologian Miller Erickson, good Baptist Jeff, sin has marred the witness of general revelation. So we see this stuff. It's clearly seen. But sin, what is sin again? Oh, goodness. Sin is worse than we think it is. That's right. I couldn't remember that. because of sin, here's a big word for you, the noetic goes to your core, the knowledge and the mind. Nous is the word for mind. The noetic, our minds have been darkened and marred by sin. So what we see with general revelation, do you think God messed up doing that? Or do you think we're messed up in how we interpret it? Hold that thought. I hope you can see where that goes with some of the things we think nowadays. So that's general revelation. Next is special or specific. You know, we won't spend a lot of time because this is what we talked about last week, especially Psalm 19:7 later on in that psalm. The law of the Lord is perfect, converting the soul. The testimony of the Lord is sure, making wise the simple. So the word of God in Isaiah says, so shall my word, well, God saying this, so shall my word be that goes forth from my mouth, God. It shall not return to me void. God's word will not return void. But it shall accomplish what I please. Guess what? What God pleases is a little more important than what we please. And it shall prosper in the thing for which I've sent it. God gave us his word for a purpose. Romans 10:17. So then faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Romans 10:17. So salvation, faith. Now, in the Christianese, how do you get saved? It's ultimately through God's word, hearing the word of God. That's the objective standard. Or as Peter says, even fishermen get this right. Having been born again, we use that term an awful lot. Having been born again, not of corruptible seed, but incorruptible, through the word of God, which lives and abides forever. So that's specific revelation, God's word. And I commend you and thank you for being, part of this church family. Because I foam at the mouth, not only because of my stroke, but also I foam at the mouth because God's word needs to be central to everything we do. And I want you people to call me, if we're not keeping that central, boot the bum out. So things like, our lifestyles, our personal testimonies, or inviting people to church, those are all wonderful, but that's really pre-evangelism. That is, sort of softening the target. I don't like that word. But those people aren't saved by your testimony. Want me to say that again? I know you people are important, and I'm pretty important in my world. But my testimony saved no one. It's God's word. So hopefully my testimony, which is important to share, we love to share stories now. Let me hear your story. And then they have to listen to your story. But my story hopefully points to Christ and his word, not what a good guy I am. Does that make sense? So all those are important, but that's pre-evangelism. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. So that's revelation. So now what about theology? Theology, so we have revelation, that's what God does. Theology, or religion, that's what man does. So how do we take what God has said? Those are the religions of the world. So first of all, there is what's called natural theology. And so the premise is that truths about God are knowable by reason. Reason is important. So we can know God just reasonably, know of his power, God as creator, so nature, the man, what's going on in the world, you know, why, well, you know, all the, a lot of scientific reasons why we say they point to a creator, not, is it 14 billion years now we've been around? Or is it 15 billion? I can't remember. But sorry, I don't believe that, because that's man interpreting what God has done and coming to his own conclusions for an agenda. Here's a little history that only, I'll just talk to Kelvin right now. Thomas Aquinas, you've heard that name. You know, a lot of times in schools, there's Catholic schools called Thomas Aquinas High School. And they always have the good football team because they can recruit Catholics from around the state. So private schools. But Thomas Aquinas, he was sometimes known as the angelic doctor, or his students would call him the dumb ox, because he was just a big, you know, seeming slovenly guy. But he could have four or five guys taking notes, and he would be dictating to them all at the same time. I mean, the guy was brilliant. So dumb ox, that's a, you know, students. How many of you students were bad to your teachers? All of you, weren't you? And Dale, how many of your students were mean to you? And he wrote, and he lived back in the 13th century, and he wrote a, you know, I don't expect any of you to read this. Maybe Gerard's probably read it. The Summa Theologica. So it's a big work. The summary of theology, if we might say. It's a systematic presentation of Christian doctrine. He was a Catholic before there were Catholics. And so the Catholic Church calls him the angelic doctor. But he presents Christian doctrine in philosophical terms and gives us what is called natural law. Have you heard that phrase? Natural law. And so, in fact, I didn't look up, but of all our Supreme Court justices, quite a few of them are Roman Catholics, and they're really big on natural law. Just what is right, what is wrong. You know, we can determine that with reason. And natural law is good and evil distinguished in God's creation. Even pagans can do that. You know, and so that's why I think a majority, at least of the conservative justices, are Roman Catholic in the natural law background. So God's world is enough. Natural theology is to make us accountable. Now hear this. God's world, natural revelation, is enough to make us accountable and point out our guilt before whoever it is out there that created. So that's why the cannibals of Borneo can't say, but we didn't know that there was a creator. What do I owe, you know, the God, whatever their concept, what do I owe that God ultimately? And why is there right and wrong? As, here's a, sorry, this is a little arcane history. What was the most important revolution in 1776? You guys are on to me. You're probably thinking the American Revolution. No, the philosophical revolution of Immanuel Kant, a Prussian philosopher that about, not that exact year, but about that time frame, Immanuel Kant has influenced the way you people and I think, and we don't even know it. But he came up with what was called the categorical imperative, that all people everywhere should, are the things that everybody should. You know, oh, that's just your truth. That's your religion. No, all people should. And he has a quote that I like. Immanuel Kant talked about the starry sky above and the moral law within. The starry sky above and the moral law within ought to at least alert us to the fact that there's something bigger than we are. And so I'm, you know, that pea's rattling around in my head, so I like to put in a little more base language. Well, Dieter, how are you going to prove that there's a God? Prove to me right now that there's a God. Okay? I'm going to punch you in the face. Your nose is going to bleed. There's something here, because that's a big question. Why is there something here instead of nothingness? Your nose is going to bleed. There's reality, the starry sky above, and the moral law within. You're probably going to be mad. Why? Why? If there's no right and wrong, who are you to get mad? Well, you hurt me. Where are your, you know, why is there right and wrong in your world? Who gets to decide? In my world, probably a lot of people need to be punched in the face. So the starry sky above and the moral law within. So that's natural theology, what man does. And then what we do, hopefully as Christian, from specific revelation, revealed theology. So going from God's world to God's word. That goes, you know, all the things we've studied, theology proper, who is God. You know, we did a whole series on theology 101. But all those areas of theology inform one another. It's important. And through the study of God's word in particular, we learn about the fact that we are sinners. We learn that grace is greater than we think it is. And we learn that Jesus, George has clued me onto a better word, Jesus is better than we think he is. So salvation comes from revealed theology. So Christianity, if you want to call it a religion, is based on God's revealed theology. And we have then his revelation. And so Christians have a revealed theology. Salvation, we know, hopefully we know, is solely through the work of Jesus Christ. Thank you for bearing with me on that. So what, you're probably asking yourself. So that same guy, Millard Erickson, sort of gives us some so whats. So revelation, both general and specific, they are consistent and harmonize. They're not going to contradict each other. Can you think of an area where this is huge? Science. Scientists who are educated beyond their intelligence like to point out, well, science says, and it somehow that contradicts you narrow-minded Christians, you just believe what's in the Bible. Well, yeah, but science has proved that something that's wrong. Has it? Do you really want to have the discussion? So revelation and revealed theology, revelation general, God's creation, you know, and science, by the way, is, you know, a word for knowledge. And it is something we are to be objects as, or we are to study science and learn from our observations. I won't go into the scientific method, but if any of you were scientists, you know, we start with what we see and observe, and we form our conclusions for that, not from that. Not for, this would never happen. We're all going to die of climate change. Now, let's go find our facts to prove that we're right. Did you know during July, it was hotter in downtown Denver than it was in January up at Breckenridge? Did you know that? You know, so some of the silly things we use to prove our agendas. So another one is truth. There's a statement you hear, but you need to rightly understand it. All truth is God's truth. So our moral, our knowledge of science, you know, there are a lot of things that are uncovered. You know, we are just uncovering what God has done or discovered. You know, it's not like we're inventing this truth. It is we are understanding, hopefully, what God has said. Especially general revelation. Folks, we have a common ground with unbelievers. Okay, so that's where Christians, unbelievers aren't going to understand. Well, repent therefore and believeth in Jesus Christeth. That's a true statement, but they're not going to understand that. So we need to, like Paul did on Mars Hill, meet them where they are and be able to, you know, point them to, well, what about the starry sky above and the moral law within? Hopefully you won't be as obnoxious as I would be. You know, don't punch people in the face. That's generally not good. But inviting people to church, all those things, sure, those are all good. But ultimately, it's the specific revelation, God's word, that can, every one of you in here that is a Christian, it's because of God's word. Let me say that again. Every one of you, and that's a categorical, inclusive, whatever it is, there's no exceptions. You are all a Christian because of God's word. Now, how you got to God's word, you know, Scott, I'm picking on you. You know, he came almost through general revelation. He saw the starry sky above, and he was out hiking somewhere.
Laying on a trampoline in the mountains.
That's what Air Force Academy graduates do. Except he wasn't a graduate then. But God used his natural theology to bring Scott to probably a church, or actually that young lady right over there, probably Pam, who got him to go to Sunday school. How many men became Christian because you were really interested in the lady that went to church? So we have a common ground. And like we just read, this is very important to understand. All have some knowledge of the truth. That's why it's called without excuse. No one can say, usually that's an excuse when they say, well, what about? Yeah, well, I don't, you know, let's not talk about deepest, darkest Africa. Let's talk about you. You can't say that. You probably got a dusty Bible in your home. You know, people that use throw up questions to fend off what they don't want to hear. So knowledge of the truth, and remember that our brains, the noetic effect of sin, is marred. We don't always think. You know, did you know? Here's a new one. How many of you know who Neil deGrasse Tyson is? Have you heard that name? You know, he's some brilliant astrophysicist. And I think now he's trying to decide if he's a woman. But shrewd intellectual, but that type of lack of wisdom and understanding, you know, what you see in the stars instead of, wow, isn't God great? You know, we are, well, that just proves billions and billions of years ago. So, 2 Corinthians 4:4, talking about unbelievers, whose minds, the God of this age, Satan, whose minds the God of this age has blinded, who do not believe, lest the light of the gospel of the glory of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine on them. So right there, it's, you know, like Paul said earlier in Romans 1, it's a, they suppress the truth. We suppress the truth. So it's, you know, God is showing it, but unless ultimately God illumines our hearts and our minds, you're not going to be a Christian. And the final point, and this is the hard one, I want to be unequivocal about this. And this is the last point, so thank you for your patience. I lied. Preachers are liars. I think it's lawyers, politicians, preachers, politicians, lawyers, liars. So that explains religion. So that's why the religion is man's religion. We're trying to deal with that guilt and things that people, you know, Buddhists, Islam, cults, they all are worried. Somehow they feel guilty and somehow they need to assuage their guilt. But they do it from man's perspective instead of revelation from God's perspective. So religion comes from theology, meaning what man does. Now, here's the last point. That should be highlighted. It's a just condemnation. See, that's hard for us to get over because I know lots of nice pagans. They are nice people. Nice people can still go to hell. And folks, we need to be very unequivocal about that. Now, you don't lead off your witnessing to them. You're going to burn in hell. Now, tell me why you shouldn't. But that is a fact. And we need to be very clear about that. There better not be any pluralists in this room that, you know, your truth is Buddhism. And just be a nice Buddhist and all paths lead to God. Folks, as one old preacher said, that's a lie. Lie from the pit of hell, and it smells like smoke. So we suppress the truth in unrighteousness, sin. And that is sin is what? Sin is worse than we think it is. Thank you. And Paul said they are without excuse. So that's sort of the overall point. I hope we understand it, that no one in all of history, all humans, everyone is going to be able to stand before the judgment throne, the judgment, and say, I didn't know. If only I'd known. You knew enough to be guilty and to, you know, hopefully want to search, what do I really do about that guilt? A couple quotes and we're done. Guy named James Edwards. So back to the human predicament results neither from ignorance nor from a malevolent fate. You know, see, that's the problem is not a lack of knowledge, but a failure to acknowledge God and render proper worship and obedience. So there's a lot of smart Berkeley professors. They're a lot smarter than I am. That's not the problem. It's obedience, authority, submission to authority. Or as an old German guy, he who evades the Creator, you evade the Creator, runs into his judge. I like that. You know, so I'm just going to ignore the starry sky above. I'm going to ignore all that natural revelation and go through life however I want. Well, you're going to meet that Creator, but he's going to be your judge. I hope we are very clear on that. And like in John's at the cross, so when Jesus had received the sour wine on the cross, what did he say in John? It is finished. And bowing his head, he gave up his spirit. Folks, I'm glad a filthy wretch like me has been washed by the blood of Christ, and my salvation is finished. Now, you know, we have ramifications, there's always but. Make sure you are looking to Christ alone for your salvation. Then hopefully You know, and that's, well, that's Christian growth, big word, sanctification. How should we live? That comes later. But until you're born again, as we say, you can't do it. You know, if, you know, I'm just hypothetical. If some of you here were not Christians, you're awfully nice people. That's great. Nice people, you know, you sort of, as Rush Limbaugh used to say, would say, you sort of swerved into being a nice person because you're dead in your sin. The cross, it has to start with the cross. All of our life of glorifying God comes after that. So, final statement, sentence. We have to be unequivocal in our belief of salvation only through the Lord Jesus Christ. One way. No one will be able to stand before God and say they didn't know. I hope you understand that now. Because sometimes, you know, we're nice people. And we want to be, you know, too often we water down the message thinking we're being nice. If you like that, there's a great church in Houston with Joel Osteen as pastor. So, no one will be able to stand before God and say they didn't know. We do them a great disservice and show a lack of love. See, this is in our culture. The culture says the loving thing is just to affirm people the way they are. No, I love you as a person, but I love you enough to tell you what you're doing is wrong. That's hard. Because what about you, Pastor Dieter? Guilty. But we're talking about you right now. You know. So we do them a great disservice by not telling them or not being very clear about this. So the point of this message, without excuse, I hope all of us at least are very clear about the guilt, sin, grace, and it's because of Jesus. You need to come up with a theology for that. 3 points. That sounds like a 3-point theology. We'll come up with that. All right, you're wearing out. Sorry. Let's pray. Dear Lord, thank you for your word. Thank you for our Savior. As we look to now just a doctrinal creed and the basis of our new life, communion, we praise you for it. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.